Well, good morning. So we're in a series, and the series is based on Romans 8 and verse 29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. And so the series is titled Destined for Glory. And so I'm basically making a book out of this, and today's lesson will be chapter 12. And in chapter 1, I just want to, and the whole book is about salvation. In chapter 1, I point out how that God predestined to have a family with sons and daughters who resemble the image and likeness of Jesus. That was God's plan. In chapter 2, we talked about the new birth, because that's where it starts. You have to be born again. And then in chapter 3 is titled, It's Time to Grow Up. And we looked at a bunch of scriptures like, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then in chapters 4 through 10, there were 7 chapters, I talk about how God grows us up. I talk about how God uses scripture. God uses the Holy Spirit. God uses the example of Jesus. God uses his providence, prayer, the brotherhood. Just a number of ways that and resources that God uses to help us grow and take on the likeness of Jesus. And then last week's lesson was titled, When Jesus Comes Again. And when Jesus comes again, then we experience salvation in its fullness. Because in this series, I've shown that salvation is experienced in the past, the present, and the future. In the past, we were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. In the present, God is transforming our lives. Paul calls that salvation, 1 Corinthians 1:18. And then in Romans chapter 13, verse 11, now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. And so that's future. That has to do with Jesus coming again. And so today's lesson is titled, Pass It On. All right? Pass it on. And then the final chapter will be Worship the King. And then there'll be some resources in there for evangelism at the back of the book. But my computer died on Wednesday. So I'm going to have to see what I can do here. But anyway, the next lesson will be Worship the King, because there's only one appropriate response for all God's done in Jesus Christ. And that's to worship the King, right? We need to be very grateful. But this lesson today, chapter 12, is titled, Pass It On. And so the message of salvation is too good to keep to ourselves. The Bible says we were hopelessly and helplessly lost in our sin. But God intervened in order to rescue us from the coming wrath of God. Paul put it like this. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says, beginning in verse 4, But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, for by grace you have been saved. And so, the message of salvation needs to be shared with all mankind. As John writes, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so the message of salvation is a message of love. It's a message of forgiveness. It's a message about the family of God. As Paul continues in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 6, Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. You see, those who have responded to the gospel in order to have their sins forgiven and to become part of the family of God, have the responsibility to pass the message of salvation on to others. You see, the world needs to know that God loves them and that His Son died on the cross for them and that He wants to forgive their sin and make them a part of His family. The last thing that Jesus did before He ascended into heaven to intercede on our behalf was to give these marching orders to His disciples. He said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." And so Jesus told His disciples to pass the message on. Go and make disciples. The command to go and make disciples of all nations. Now, disciple making is a process. You share the gospel with someone who's lost. You baptize those who believe, repent, and confess their faith in Christ. And then you continue to teach them everything that Jesus commanded. Now, it takes a lot of time to make a disciple. Jesus spent 3 years working with the 12, discipling them. We cannot do that in one or two Bible studies. All right? If it took Jesus 3 years to disciple the 12, you're not going to do it in one or two studies. It's not going to happen. A disciple is a learner. Jesus said, "As a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher." And so when the person you're teaching develops the heart and mind of Jesus, and they're able to reproduce themselves, then you have made a disciple. But not until then. Right? And so it's important that we understand that it's not enough just to teach them the gospel and baptize them and stick them on a pew. They have to be taught all things. And they have to grow and mature and take on the mind and the heart of Jesus. And they need to be able to reproduce. And so we refer to this mission as the Great Commission. The Great Commission is by far the greatest work going on in our world. And this is the work that Jesus gave us to do. Showing up on Sunday mornings for church service is not the work that Jesus called us to do. Now, worship is essential if you are a follower of Jesus, but it's not the job that He gave us. Somehow, believers today think that as long as they assemble on Sunday mornings for worship, they are faithfully doing the work of Jesus. Worship is simply believers coming together on the Lord's Day to express their gratitude for God having saved them. It's a celebration of God's goodness, but it's not the mission. It's not the mission. The Great Commission is the mission that Jesus gave us. He said, "Go and make disciples of all nations." And listen, it is absolutely imperative that we obey Jesus and make disciples. Why? Let me give you three reasons why. Significant reasons why. Number one, first of all, this is what Jesus commanded us to do. Right? So that's a great reason. Albert Epp, in his book, Discipleship Therapy, says, "Churches in America often resemble hospitals with only maternity wards and no subsequent care. Getting people in gets the big push, but spiritual formation or convert care is sadly lacking." You see, Jesus was very clear with His message, with His mission. He said, "Go and make disciples, baptize them, and continue to teach them." And so disciple making is a process. It's not a one-time act. If all we do is share the gospel with the lost and baptize them and we don't continue to nurture them and teach them, then we're failing to obey Jesus in the mission that he gave us. Paul gives us a little insight into what disciple making is about in Colossians 1, verses 28 and 29. I like Paul as he describes his ministry among the Colossians there. He says, "Him we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily." And so Paul, on his missionary journeys, he didn't just share the gospel with a group of people and leave town. He stuck around. And in some cases, Paul stuck around for years. Years, like in 2 or 3 years, working with people. Because that's what it takes to disciple. You see, Paul wanted to present every man perfect in Christ. And he put all of his energy, all of his effort into this great task of making disciples. And so, we need to make disciples because that's what Jesus commanded us to do. But secondly, and this is a really important reason why, disciple making is the only way that we can reach the world with the gospel. Robert Coleman, in his book, writes a lot of stuff on discipleship, on the subject of discipleship. He truly understands the task at hand. He understands what's involved in discipleship. And he wrote the foreword to Leroy Ames's book, The Lost Art of Disciple Making. And I want you to listen to this brief excerpt from his foreword. He said, "Jesus came to save the world, and to that end, he died. But on his way to the cross, he concentrated his life on making a few disciples. These men were taught to do the same, until through the process of reproduction, the gospel would reach the ends of the earth." And so Jesus' plan was to make disciples. Who would go and make disciples? Who would go and make disciples? Until the gospel of the kingdom reaches the far ends of the earth. That was the plan of Jesus. And this is why disciple making is so critical. You see, only disciples are able to reproduce themselves. And God never intended that the church hire an evangelist who would do all of the evangelism, who would do all the work of reaching out. It's impossible to reach the world in that manner. There are over 8 billion people walking around on this planet today. It will take a massive army to reach the world with the gospel. On one occasion, Jesus spoke these words to his disciples. Matthew 9, verses 37 and 38. He said, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." You see, our problem is apparent. We don't have a workforce that is capable of reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But Jesus told us how we can rectify this problem. And it's really twofold. Number one, we need to pray for laborers. We need to pray as Jesus instructed us to. Pray that God will send laborers into the harvest. Do you pray that prayer? He asked us to do that in Matthew chapter 9. He said, pray. How often do you pray that God will send laborers into the harvest? We do not have an army sufficient to reach the world currently, but we could have. But secondly, we got to make disciples. Those are the two things we must do. We must pray and ask God to send laborers into the harvest. And secondly, we have to make disciples. That's the way we're going to reach our world. If we want to accomplish the mission of Jesus, we need to pray and obey the Great Commission. In Acts, the 8th chapter, we read about the persecution spearheaded by Saul of Tarsus in the city of Jerusalem. And as a result, we see that the saints were scattered abroad, and they went into the regions of Judea and Samaria. And the text says, except the apostles. So pay attention to verse 4. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Did you notice that? Those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Those who were scattered were not the apostles. But it was those who were trained by the apostles. Those who were discipled by the apostles. They went and preached the gospel. You see, the persecution of Saul unleashed an army of soul winners on a world. That's really what happened. Saul had no idea what was about to happen. But he unleashes this huge army of soul winners. And so, if you're not capable of sharing the gospel with the lost, then you've never been discipled. You have been churched. Those who have been churched have the understanding that being a faithful Christian means I go to church on Sunday mornings, that I attend Bible class on Wednesday nights. But that is not the mission of the church. The mission of the church is to seek and to save the lost. And one of the key characteristics of a disciple is that they're able to reproduce themselves. That's what disciples can do. And so they can replicate the process. And so what took place in their life, they're able to go to another life and reproduce that. And that's what Jesus intended. And if every Christian did that, we would have an army more than sufficient of reaching the world with the gospel. And so, churchgoers, for the most part, are not able to reproduce themselves. Please note that only through disciple making will we have a workforce capable of reaching the world. This is the only way it can be done. And it's the reason Jesus gave this mission. Now, we've all seen how the concept of multiplying ministries work. For example, if you were the only Christian on planet Earth, and in the next 6 months, you converted a person, discipled them, and then there would be two of you in the world, and then in the next 6 months, if you two go out and convert two more people and disciple them, you now have four disciples in the world. And if you do that for 17 years, you have over 5 billion disciples walking planet Earth. And that's if you do that for just a short period of time of about 17 years. So let's say, okay, there's no way I'm going to convert someone every 6 months. Okay, what about once a year? So let's double that number, make it 34 years. In 34 years, if we do what Jesus said do, we have an army that can reach the whole world with the gospel of Jesus. That's how it works. That's how Jesus planned this thing. And it's the only way that it can work. You see, every believer has the responsibility of making disciples. And Jesus' plan will work if we will just do what Jesus commanded us to do. It cannot be accomplished in any other way. Jesus knew what he was doing when he said, go and make disciples of all nations. The big question is this, will I obey Jesus? That's the big question. But I'm going to tell you, there is no other way. It won't work any other way. This is the only way that it will work. But the third reason that we need to make disciples, number three, to ensure that God's family is complete. Now I want you to look with me at a text, Revelation chapter 7. So turn there. I realize a lot of this I haven't been putting up on the screen. It's because I've got a manuscript and it's not my normal, typical sermon notes that I just preach from and et cetera. I'll get back to that right after our final lesson in this series. But I want you to see this. Revelation 7. The way that the book of Revelation unfolds, and we talked a little bit this morning, it's not linear history. It doesn't start at point A and go to point Z. It's more cyclical. And so you'll see this in the book of Revelation. But listen to these words, beginning in verse 9. And after these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God. What we see here is a picture of God's family in heaven. It's His complete family. After all of God's work is done here on earth, God is giving us in this text a family portrait. Here you go. Here's my family. And His family portrait is made up of peoples from all over the globe. All nations and tribes and languages. And let me tell you, God is very proud of His family. And I know that you have family portraits in your house as well, because I know family is important to you. We love our families, and God loves His family. And it's important that we understand that now is the time for God's family to grow. His family's not going to grow in eternity. Now is the time for His family to grow. And so if God's family is going to grow and be the big family God wants it to be, it's going to happen now. This is the time for that to happen. And so that's why going and making disciples is significant, because God wants His complete family. And so we understand from Scripture that it grows one life at a time. And nothing is more exciting than the expansion of a family, right? Nothing is more exciting than that. I mean, just think back to the birth of your firstborn, right? And I can remember it so well, and I don't know exactly what all was going on inside of me, but I got the giggles. And I mean, it was exciting, and I just started laughing, and I couldn't stop. And I mean, I had no control over it whatsoever. It was just the most exciting thing. I mean, never experienced birth, right? And it was incredible, but all I remember was I just kept laughing and giggling, and it was so exciting and awesome and wonderful. But that's how I responded to it. But that's how you respond to it too. You get excited and you laugh and you get happy and you giggle and you jump for joy. Why? Because your family is expanding, and we all like the idea of an expanded family. And you grandparents, oh, you know you love your grandchildren, right? And every time you get the call, you have a new grandbaby. What do? Marsha, you get on Facebook. That's what you do. You tell everybody, right? Because it's exciting. Our family is growing. That's what's going on. The growth of your family is the most exciting thing going on in your life. And the happiness and the joy that we experience cannot in any way, shape, or form be compared to the joy that our Father experiences in heaven when one of His children come home. In fact, in Luke chapter 15, we're told that he throws a huge celebration, right? That's what God does every time a child comes home. And so I want you to look at God's family photo one more time. I want you to look at that photo in Revelation chapter 7. And I want you to ask yourself this. What am I doing to help God's family grow? Are you actively seeking the lost? Can God count on you for the expansion of His family? You see, the Great Commission is God's plan to expand His family. And He doesn't have another plan. He doesn't have a plan B. This is it. Go and make disciples. That is God's plan to expand His family. And one day it will be huge. As we see in Revelation 7, it will be awesome. And it will be made up of all nations. But not before. God's people on earth are busy, involved in the Great Commission, discipling people. Now I have another question. And it's this. Are you in the family portrait? Are you in the family portrait? If not, you can be. You see, when you answer the call of the gospel, God then includes you into His family. So if you've never responded to the call of the gospel, we're going to sing a song. And as we sing this song, it's a chance for you to respond. To respond to God's call. God calls all to salvation. God is not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. If you're not in the photo and you want to be in the family portrait, then we encourage you today to come. If you have another need in your life that you would like to make known and let us pray with you about, please do that as well. But whatever your need might be, come as we stand together and sing.